At that point, I'm, you know, rollerblading to the Jeep Cherokee dealership, picked up my Jeep Cherokee, right? So that was my first car. 90 days later, give the car back. Now I'm M6, all right? I'm at the M6 level very quick. Jeep to the M6.
This would be the montage in the movie, by the way.
Eventually, we crushed it. I ended up, you know, starting my own mortgage company. Everything was great. 2007 and a half came. Oh, a week before the economy collapsed, I took all of the money I had made on all like 12 flips and said, let's go after a big one this time. And I bought a castle in the Hollywood Hills.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm 20, 25, 26. My brother and I buy like a $3.5 million castle in the Hollywood Hills.
What's up, folks? Today's episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast is brought to you by Blackview Dash Cams and their all-new DR770X Box Dash Cam. It's the choice for drivers and fleet owners looking for maximum stealth and security. It's designed with not one, not two, but three cameras and a lock-protected recording unit. The Blackview DR770X Box Dash Cam provides great video, night and day, inside and out. This dash cam features front, interior, and rear cameras that connect to a lock-protected box recording unit, which can be easily hidden in the glove compartment or under a seat. Thanks to the full HD Sony Starvis image sensors in all three of the cameras, you can rest assured you're getting the best video quality under any light, and the interior camera can record even in pitch black with infrared LEDs. The main unit's key-operated locking mechanism protects the micro SD card as well as the cable connectors, and all three cameras are designed for stealth, so they include their own locking mechanism to restrict the rotation of the cameras and prevent unauthorized persons from unplugging the video cables. The DR770X box models come with a new wireless button that allows users to trigger event recordings manually, and it's available in two variants, the standard DR770X box with the regular rear camera and the DR770X box truck, including the external waterproof infrared camera. Blackview's DR770X box series dash cams are perfect solutions for individual drivers such as taxi or rideshare and fleet owners. It's all in one. So go to Blackview, BLACKVUE.com/TST to learn more about the Blackview DR770X box dash cams and use promo code TIRE to get 10% off any Blackview dash cam or parking mode accessory with free shipping for orders over $200. That's Blackview.com/TST and use code TIRE for 10% off any Blackview dash cam or accessory with free shipping for orders over $200. Also brought to you today by Off the Record. Listen, if you get pulled over and ticketed, do not plead guilty. It is not, that ticket was not issued to you for safety. It was issued to collect money and enter you in a financial ecosystem that you want no part of. It's not just the police, it's the courts, it's the insurance, it's everything. Fight that ticket with Off the Record. All you have to do is go to offtherecord.com/TST or download the Off the Record app for iOS and Android and use code TST10. That'll get you 10% off all legal services with Off the Record. Then, once you have your account made, all you do is snap a picture of that ticket or scan it on your computer, upload it to Off the Record, and they will connect you with a qualified attorney who will fight that ticket in the jurisdiction it was issued in. Off the Record covers 97% of drivers in the U.S. There are only a few places they can't cover, and they have an amazing success rate. If they don't get those points off your record, you don't pay. They are the best. I get letters all the time from people who use Off the Record. They love it. My staff here at the shop has used it. They love it. It's fantastic. Don't plead guilty. Offtherecord.com/TST or code TST10 on the Off the Record app. All right, folks, on this episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast, changing directions a little bit, talking about houses. Actually, houses and cars. We're talking about both. My old friend, Josh Altman, is in studio. I grew up with this kid in Jersey. Didn't see him for about 20 years. We reconnected as adults, and now he is one of, if not the most successful real estate agent in the United States of America. The dude sold over $1 billion in real estate last year. Also, a big car enthusiast, loves muscle cars, loves Rolls Royces, as many Beverly Hills real estate agents do. Dreaming of Rolls Royces, and we have a great chat about houses, about his story, which is very inspiring, and about the craziest stuff he has dealt with and seen on the show, as well as his collection of cars and his taste in Los Angeles motoring. It's Josh Altman of Million Dollar Listing, the Altman Brothers Realty, on the Smoking Tire Podcast. Here he is.
Pumped to be here.
Josh Altman. Let's talk about real estate.
Let's talk about some real estate. Let's talk about how, you know, last time I saw you, you were 3 feet tall and I was
like
4 feet tall.
Fucking mute your shit,
man. Oh,
I know,
my
God. I know you're all busy.
Dude, that's a deal. That's a deal.
You want to fucking make moves?
I'm doing this for free. Yeah. I got to make money.
You charge for
I'm...
these seminars. All right, we're going to do one of those, like, you're over in Dubai fucking telling the Habibis how to fucking make money. Dude, do they love you in Dubai?
We love Dubai. Love Dubai. It's an amazing place. I will tell you, first of all, no taxes.
Yeah, I know.
No crime.
Yeah.
Like, no garbage. Just the safest place in the world every year now. And the opportunity real estate is insane. And the amount of wealth coming into that country, or the UAE in general, but Dubai is on another level. And
yeah, because don't they just kind of like, don't they not really care where your money comes from? Isn't it just like, bro, you bring the money here. It doesn't matter where it's from. We take it all.
Listen, I will tell you this. Think about all these Eastern European countries, all these countries where they got to take their money and put it somewhere because it might not be stable, the government, wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there, right? And yeah, I've never seen, you look around the skyline of Dubai, and I've never seen more cranes in my life.
Yeah.
And they build buildings one-tenth of the time it takes us to build buildings. It would take us, let's say, 6 years. They're in and out in like a year. Like
I've been to Dubai, and I find it to be very interesting. And the people I met there, especially the car enthusiast people, were fucking wild. They were great. I mean, we had the best time. I mean, to see a guy in the full fucking robes being like, this is 1967 Mustang, bro.
Yeah.
This is, you know, like it was like this cultural thing was crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
The Emiratis are super nice people. And I don't know if you just saw, but there was a license plate, the number 7 license plate that just sold. And I forgot the exact amount, but it was like 20-something million dollars.
Yeah.
Right? Because they pay to be higher up, to be lower in the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just the highest sale in the history of the world for a license plate, who would have paid for a license plate?
Yeah.
But someone paid $20 million for number 7.
Yeah. Well, I actually think that type of system could be used in America to our advantage. Like, I think that I believe in a tiered speed limit system. Like, if you're a semi-professional driver with lots of training and a car that passes special inspectors, you should be able to go 100 miles an hour.
You should.
And you should get a special license plate. Like, in other countries, they show off with their license. Now, they're showing off wealth and status, right? But I want to show off my driving skill status by having a special 100-mile-an-hour
limit.
I'm
voting for you for that. Now, what happens if you're like me and you have tons of speeding tickets? Do they take your license plate and give you another one that says...
Yeah, they give you a red one.
Yeah.
There was some state, one of the states, if you have Dewey's, they give you a yellow license plate that's like, this motherfucker's not safe. Like a straight up, like, he can't drive after dark anymore. They give you a yellow plate. But when I was in Dubai, I don't know,
a whiskey plate.
A whiskey plate.
Or a party plate. It's given to people who have been convicted of DUIs.
Yeah, dude.
Where? There?
States. Ohio has one.
Yeah.
Ohio added it. And then
I have a couple people
more.
I want to gift those to. Yeah. Can we do that?
Can we just buy them on eBay?
Yeah, can we buy them? How much?
But when I was in Dubai, so there's something interesting with those plates over there. If you're a somebody, I think you can get the same plate on multiple vehicles because I got lost. I had to drive myself around Dubai.
Okay.
And it was a pretty confusing place to drive, actually. Oh, if you don't know where you're going, you can take a wrong exit and end up on a fucking wrong side of the town. And I ended up trying to make a U-turn, trying to figure out where I was at a car detailing place. And at the car detailing place were four black G-Wagons, all of which had the number 4.
Come on. That's
but
great.
4, 4, 4, 4. One on each. It was, and I was like, oh.
It's a family deal.
This is a somebody. This is like, this is the prince, and he just wants the same shit on everybody's car. I want to hear, because you just sold my house, which is awesome. Thank you for that.
Congratulations.
You and your team.
I will tell you, you're a great guy. You know why?
Because I'm patient.
Because you're very patient. And you know what else? I get yelled at all day long by my clients. You never yelled at me once. Now, I don't know if it's because I used to babysit you or some shit like that, but you were just cool, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Our parents were friends, still are friends, but when we were growing up, and you're what, 2 years older than me?
I'm 44.
Okay, 3 years older than me, and I'm the same age as Matt, right?
Yeah,
is he 41 also?
You're bigger than me.
Yeah. So that's this is the trade-off.
No, Matt's my older brother.
Oh, he's older?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I thought I think he was younger. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I didn't see you for a while, and then I found out you were into cars, and then we ran into each other at a couple car events, Pebble Beach, this and that. And then, of course, when it came time to sell the house, who the fuck else am I going to call?
I love that.
Fucking Ghostbusters.
Let's go.
But, and I know... You know, obviously, I saw you on TV when Million Dollar Listing started. I was like, this fucking guy? No fucking, no way. This
you
is
know
crazy.
What's funny? That was the reaction of everyone who knows me when they first saw me on TV. This fucking guy. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but that didn't come out of nowhere, right? Because, so tell me the real estate Josh and Matt Altman story.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, look, I'll make it fast here, but basically, we moved out to LA 20 years ago, right? My brother was already here. I came out, I was sleeping on the couch, figuring out what to do. I wanted to be a talent agent.
Okay.
Right? You know, you watch things like Entourage.
Yeah.
You want to be, you know, talent agent, real estate agent, it's all the fucking same thing. And so, you know, I start in the mailroom making $6.50 an hour.
Whose mailroom?
I worked at a place called what was it called? The firm. A guy named Jeff Quatnitz owned the company.
Okay.
And so it was music management. And I was in the mailroom. And I started there, tried to work my way up, became an assistant, this and that. And then, you know, while I'm in the mailroom, I'm seeing all these successful people walking around. And I wanted to figure out what was going on. Like, who are these people? How'd they get there? So I would always take my paycheck every week, and I'd use it to take them to take them out to lunch. And I, you know, I pick their brain, and I'd sit there, and they would all talk about how they got to where they are, but they're also making money on the side in real estate. And I'm like, well, how can you be so good at one thing and do that full time, but also make money in real estate? And I remember, because at the time, I didn't have a car. I rollerbladed. Yes, you can make fun of me.
No.
I rollerbladed.
Did you have the Lightning TRS? Was it the Aeroblade?
This was 2002. What?
Okay.
So I'm rollerblading back and forth to the mailroom. And that was my car. And I was like, I rollerbladed home. And I'm
even
like, Matt.
Even in 2002, that's a shitty way to commute in L.A. That sucks. Yeah, not even bike. Full
but the letters got delivered really quickly in the building.
Did you rollerblade through the office?
No. And so, you know, on days I needed a car, I'd use my brother's car, and that was it. So I rollerbladed home. I'm like, Matt, we're in the wrong business. We got to get in real estate. And he's like,
what was he doing?
He was like, no shit. We got no money, though. How are we going to do that? And he was further up in the ranks. So a couple years ahead of me out of the mailroom.
At the same company?
So we're different company. Okay. So we're coming up at different speeds. And, you know, I was like, all right, well, let's figure this out. And I saved $5,000 in my name. He saved $5,000 to his name. We put that $10,000 together. And we went out and we bought our first place. And it was a $390,000 condo right around the corner in West LA.
Okay.
Okay. Across the street from a strip mall.
With 10 G's down? That's pretty good. It was a pretty good deal.
You might be too young for this. Some called 100% financing back in the day. Yeah. Something that may have led to the entire the entire economy collapsing. But
my properties. Yeah. I have 7 condos.
Greatest scene in the history of a movie. Yes. And so we bought that, ended up every time we got a paycheck, you know, painting it one week, switching a light fixture out the next week. And next thing you know, we put it back on the market 3 months later. We sell it for $600,000.
Wow.
We made $200,000. It was the biggest money we ever seen in our life. We thought we were millionaires walking around L.A. Like, we thought we were the biggest developers this town's ever seen. You know, confidence level goes through the roof. Take that $200,000, buy another place, $700,000, do the same thing, flip it for $900,000. Now we're multimillionaires, right? Two wins.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we kept on doing that. And eventually I said, well, instead of paying a mortgage broker and a realtor every time we buy and sell a house, why don't I just go get my license? And so I went and got my license, failed. Went again, failed. Yeah, that's right. But listen,
but you knew the real estate was easy because these other people that's business were doing it on the side.
Yes, right?
Is it hard? Is the test hard?
No, but I'm that dude who, you know, with ADD, obsessive compulsive, all that stuff, right? I can't take a test. My guidance counselor in high school was like, yeah, this dude should not take the SATs with everyone else.
Oh, you got special SATs?
So I got
SATs?
Untimed SATs, and I still did horrible. Like, I thought you got like 400 for your name right and then something else.
I said that, but I don't think that's actually true.
I don't think that was true.
Did you break a G?
No, 980.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm part of the 980 club.
My man's got the all gold AP chrono with a 980. Now we're fucking talking, dude.
Nowadays, everybody gets a check plus. Great job. And they get a shoulder rub. And
how old were you after like the second property?
So second property, I'm like 25. Four. Now we're flipping stuff. I finally get my real estate license. I become a mortgage broker. I'm a millionaire by 26 in 2 seconds. Like, some people were just born to sell mortgages and sell stuff. I picked up the mortgage game quicker than anyone ever, and I went from cold calling in my cubicle out of the phone book to 3 months later, you know.
Does cold calling in the phone book work?
What it did when you're a freaking assassin, yeah. So you'll like this part, right? Because we got car people here. So at that point, I'm rollerblading to the Jeep Cherokee dealership, picked up my Jeep Cherokee, right? So that was my first car. 90 days later, give the car back. Now I'm M6, all right? I'm at the M6 level very quick. Jeep to the M6.
This would be the montage in the movie, by the way.
Yeah. Because I want you to understand the montage
Cherokee,
of cars.
Line of coke, M6, line of coke, Ferrari fucking 550.
Rollerblading to the dealership.
All of that's right, minus
the coke.
Because
they're not selling the M6 at the Jeep dealership, so you got to get from Jeep to BMW, and you blade. Yes.
Buy here, pay here, bro.
Drop the Jeep off to the M6 guy. He says, we'll take it. It's fine. Just pay this. And then, you know, and as we go, of course, next thing you know, the M6, but doesn't have big back seats. Let me get the Range Rover 2 another 3 months later. Very quickly, the car, like I'm spending my money on cars and real estate.
So you definitely live in LA.
Always love cars, though. Eventually, we crushed it. I ended up, you know, starting my own mortgage company. Everything was great. 2007 and a half came. Oh, a week before the economy collapsed, I took all of the money I had made on all like 12 flips and said, let's go after a big one this time. And I bought a castle in the Hollywood Hills.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm 25, 26. My brother and I buy like a $3.5 million castle in the Hollywood Hills because it had 2 master bedrooms. Right, so that way we wouldn't fight who got the bigger bedroom.
Oh, okay.
Oh, to live in.
Would
not you? To flip.
Would
yeah,
you,
to but
live
would
in
you
there.
Live in?
But we would live in these. We were single guys
while you were working.
Yeah, we got our suitcases and you know invite the boys over. That was it. And
that was probably a fun couple of years. I bet that was
great. It was so great. Yeah. So great.
There's a lot behind your eyes. Yeah, like you just told
nothing
you just told
happened.
Five stories with one look.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
economy collapse.
Wait, don't bang the table.
Oh, sorry.
The
is the sign.
The
don't bang the
people.
Table. It startles the people around. Oh, the microphones. Okay, yeah.
No, the people with subwoofers at home lose their shit.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah.
Or it could be like that scene from Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah, man. We're in the castle. World collapse, lose my mortgage company, watch every single one of my cars over the next few months get taken out of the garage, the M6, the Range Rover. I'm like, ugh.
And they're financed and repoed,
I'm not paying for them anymore. And calling the mortgage company, hey, I need your help. I can't pay the mortgage anymore. And because I realized, I woke up one morning, I said, wow, it cost me $58,000 a month just to get out of bed.
Yeah.
That's probably not a good idea when you have zero income coming in. And Mr. Mortgage Company, I'd like to, can you guys help me? I can't pay anymore. Please call us after you're 6 months late. And I'm like, dude, I'm trying to make a deal with you up front.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening at that time.
They're telling guy with enormous problems that there's other guys with much more enormous problems.
So long story short, lose everything, went from the castle.
Yeah.
This is not a metaphor. Went from the castle with the turrets, literally. That was the house. To the duplex, right? Renting back at the duplex. Not that there's anything wrong with the duplex, unless you lived in a castle
before. Unless you're coming from a castle, yeah.
That was it. Lost everything. 26 millionaire, 26 and a half, broke.
Here's the scene in the movie where they pull the rollerblades back out
of the
closet.
The second act. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, naturally, I wrote a book about this. And, of course, I decided to walk up and down the streets where I used to have my mortgage company because I was like, if I'm going to sell houses, I want to sell the biggest houses in the world. So why don't I do it in Beverly Hills? And, look, I was depressed for a while. I'm going to spare you guys that stuff, right? And it was a downward spiral for a year. Eventually, I was talking to my brother, one of my mentors. He was like, look, you guys, what do you like to do? And I'm like, we go see mansions on the weekends for open houses because it inspires us and, like, we like to dream. And he's like, well, why don't you just be realtors? You flipped houses, you finance houses. Why don't you sell houses? You love dealing with people. And that's what we did.
Yeah, you don't have to take on the mortgage yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first 6 months, you know how much we sold?
Zero.
Zero. Right. Next 6 months, we sold our first listing and we needed that money like we needed air at that time. Like we were just doing everything we could do just to get like past each day. And we finally sold that first deal. I remember every single detail of that deal, even though now it was 2008. So, we're talking a long time ago, 15 years ago. And then it snowballed. Then the next deal, then the next year we did $30 million. The next year we did $80 million. The next year we did $150 million. The next year we did $250 million. The next year we did $500 million. And then, 2 years ago, we sold $1.5 billion worth of real estate
in one year.
Yeah, it's
last
a
year
number.
We broke $1 billion, and last month we sold $215 million in 30 days, which I think was $7 million every single day.
Wow.
Was the first property when you kind of got back up, was that a mansion, multi-million-dollar house? Like you just decided to skip the other stuff?
Well, because we sold in LA, right? You got to pay high taxes when you live in LA. You get some bad stuff, but the good stuff is, even if you sell a teardown, you're going to sell something for $1.5 to $2 million, right?
So it's funny, the idea of a show called Million Dollar Listing, is charming, in 2023 because it's like, so that's a one bedroom? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
You know, what are we talking about?
Right. They
got to
change
here?
The title.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as we started coming up, they offered us a show, Million Dollar Listing. It was already on air for two seasons. They were getting rid of someone on the show. We had just sold Kim Kardashian a house at the time. And I think our name was in the newspaper. And so a producer called us up and like, hey, looks like you're selling a lot of young Hollywood houses. And, Kim's house at that time, it was a condo for $800,000. It wasn't, wasn't what she's living in now. But she was famous. And Yeah, I went in for the interview, and seven interviews later, they offered us the gig. Offered me the gig. Me, I say us because my brother and I are business partners. They offered me the gig. Yeah. I went in. Matt was like, hey, bro, you do it. You be the face. I'll be the behind the scenes thing because, you know, we had just came from the top of the mountain and then down to the bottom, and now we're worked our way back up. And you're a little hesitant once you lose everything in life, right? You kind of learn the second time around. First time, fine. Second time, come on. Like, you know, that's on you the second time.
Yeah.
So Matt's like, you do it just in case this show is a bad idea or bad for business. I'll be behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, fine. And that's what happens. Here we are.
And there's a chance it could be. I mean, you're not, if you're not an executive producer, you know, they can edit that motherfucker however they want. I mean, in this case, it seems to have worked out pretty good. And when I talk to people about TV, you know, I use you guys as an example a lot of a situation where a, quote, reality show is, you know, the marketing value of it for your business is far beyond whatever your fucking Bravo salary is.
Right.
You know,
right.
Bravo salary don't even cover that watch.
Right.
You know, but but the marketing value of, I'm going to get the real estate agents from the fucking that are on TV.
Yeah.
Is hugely different compared to, you know, some of these guys. I get asked to do television a lot, and it's usually some fucking yokel ass show from some yokel ass shop in the middle of nowhere, and there's very little marketing value of it beyond the salary of the show, but you can parlay.
Yeah.
Assuming the show doesn't hose you on your reputation.
So, yeah, you got number one, you got to operate at 110% every time the camera's rolling, yeah. Right? You can't slip.
You have
slip.
To be like a caricature of yourself, you but can't in, the, slip. In a good way.
Yeah. And you got to I see my show 24 hours before you see my show.
Yeah.
And I spent all year filming it. Like, that's how scary it is. You have no idea. They've been great. Bravo's amazing. They've been great. World of Wonder, our production company, have been great. They've always had our back. And listen, they show us who we are. And everybody always says, like, you're the same dude on TV than you are in person, because that's just how we operate. So it's worked out well. Obviously, it's been great for business. We're the number one team in the country, which is awesome. We got a great team now. We opened up in Newport Beach, which is awesome as well. That's our next kind of town that we're taking over out there, which we're having a lot of fun doing. And yeah, it's where season 15 is coming up of Million Dollar Listing. Yeah. So I've been on that show.
Half my life.
Yeah. I met my wife on the show because she was my enemy's assistant. And I was thinking how to screw over my enemy. And I ended up marrying his assistant.
That's a good way.
That was the nice way of saying it, by the way.
You use the same word, but in a different part of the sentence.
How quickly did you guys realize the value of that show and get over the fear of it?
I actually spoke when we got off of the show. I spoke to a couple people who were on TV. They said, wear makeup. Okay, so
don't be too proud to wear the makeup.
Don't be too proud to wear makeup. So I wore makeup, and we were always, look, we're entrepreneurs, my brother and I, right? We always were big picture thinkers. We always felt like life is a marathon, right? It's not a race. And when we looked at this, we looked at it from, even though we were only in the mailroom delivering mail to talent agents, we looked at it as a talent agent opportunity, right? So, okay, what can we do with this thing? How do we build our business from this thing? Where is this playing? How many viewers an episode? 2 million viewers an episode, 70 countries around the world? How can we capitalize on it? And we looked at it as a huge, really, map of what this could be. And that's how we approached it. Listen, there's been a bunch of real estate shows since. We were actually the first ones.
Yeah.
There was nothing before that. And since then, there's a lot of them out there. And now it's like everybody gets a reality real estate show. I don't know that anyone has capitalized on it like we have, because we've kept our eye on the ball and we stay in our lane. Right?
Yeah, the only other one I can think of is, what are the name? Gaines. The Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Oh,
they're down in Waco, Texas, doing that. And they own the whole fucking town.
Yeah, I don't know them. They do home improvement stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
they kill it.
They destroy.
Right. I was talking agent
my
shows.
My in-laws
they do
literally
really well.
Went to Waco, Texas for
crazy.
A vacation because of those people.
Did you just watch that thing, Waco, Texas, on
oh,
on
the
Netflix?
Branch Davidians thing?
The new ones
yeah, it's
that
crazy.
Just came out?
Yeah, it's crazy
I
shit.
Remember living that.
Me too. It
watching
wild.
It, and I just watched the new thing on Netflix, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I did not have the context when I was a kid of what was going on.
The kid
on.
I was watching, my camera guy, who was rolling with me, rolling down to San Diego. To go shoot walkthroughs at like $50 million worth of listings we got down in San Diego. And we watched it in my mobile office on the way down there. And he's like, wow, when was this? I was like, oh my God, these kids are so young. They yeah. don't even remember. I remember that.
I remember that happening too. Yeah. David Koresh was like a pre-meme. You know what I mean?
God.
Like, what's the mobile office? The Sprinter?
Yeah. So we have, we've had multiple mobile offices where we do business on the road, right? Instead of driving around texting, we realize it's a lot safer to have somebody else drive. So we have this pimped out mobile office, multiple screens, crazy internet stuff, you know, everything that you would see in a mini. And so we had the first one, and then we were selling Jake Paul's house. Logan Paul, one of them. We one of their houses we were selling.
People.
It was I think it was Jake.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were moving to like Puerto Rico.
I think Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico because they're way smarter than we are, and they pay zero taxes now. But yeah, we ended up doing the deal, and in the deal was our mobile office. That's our old one with the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
And so that's Heather and I, my wife and I, in the old one. So we sold that, did the deal with Jake, mm-hmm. got his, obviously had it, you know, completely changed. We had to take his emblem and put Altman Brothers everywhere. And this one did not have a bathroom. Here's the thing with the mobile offices. If you got a bathroom in it, and you're rolling with the boys or whatever down to listings wherever you go, it stinks.
Yeah.
It also takes up a lot of room.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're missing another.
And you gotta have it cleaned out.
Yeah.
It's like a whole thing. Yeah.
It's yeah. The clean out part is yeah. is not fun.
Yeah.
So we got rid of that, and now we have where it can hold 9 people comfortably instead of. It ended up just being a regular car with a bathroom
yeah,
in it.
A bathroom in a car.
Yeah.
It's not like a bathroom in a plane. In a plane, you have no all. You know, you
yeah.
can fucking pull into a gas station in the van if you
yes,
really have
yes,
to.
Yes.
Not to mention, you're going to houses that presumably have 75 bathrooms in each one for $100 million.
Right,
so
right,
so it's not
right.
like the bathroom is the clutch move, yeah.
So.
But getting your time back, because, you know, you're obviously going place to place as part of the gig.
Yeah.
Having that be usable time is pretty basic math.
Yes, and
yeah.
I love this chair.
Aren't they great?
Because I put my shoulders back,
yeah.
and I sit up straight.
It's called a Capisco chair.
Can
it's
we
good.
Get one of these?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They're good.
Cool.
And
Let's
you can. You know what else you can do? You could do the,
oh, you,
could you do
pull the turnaround?
The AC Slater. This is great.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to sit like this the whole rest
you
of the
what?
Show.
You know what this is like? It's like turning your hat around.
yeah.
In the Sylvester Stallone movie called Over the Top, turn the hat, do this, and then yeah, and then your arm wrestling. Do you remember that movie?
Fuck yeah,
he
dude.
He drove a big rig truck.
Yes.
Yeah,
with his kid. And if you turn the hat around,
you
like,
pull,
now it's
you
right.
pull the yes.
now shit's
yeah.
going down. Yeah.
So
I respect the mobile office.
Thanks.
My,
so if
my
you see the
man,
AB office, you know,
yeah.
that's
yeah. Yours is next level, and those Sprinters are popular now. But, like, I remember in the 90s, my dad, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came home and he goes, I got a driver. And I was like, you know, I knew we were like, you know, we were pretty well off. It was not over the top, but we lived in a nice house, a nice neighborhood. And my dad had an important job. He was running a Woolworth at the time.
Woolworth,
jeez.
Right?
Remember that? Haven't heard Woolworth
that
in a while, right?
That was basically Walmart.
Right? It was the original. The five and oh, yeah, it was the original.
Yeah,
and
right.
my dad's the reason it doesn't exist anymore, by the way.
And he's also, what I remember about your dad, because we were just little shitheads running around, he was the tallest guy I had ever seen.
yeah.
How tall is he?
He's 6'5".
He was way taller back
in
the day.
Yeah, when you're 3 feet tall, he's a giant.
I could have sworn he was 6'8".
Yeah. He seemed huge when I was a kid too.
Raj and Viv.
But when he got a town car extended 8 inches with a driver, and it had like a phone in the back, you know, and the whole, and he was like, my time these 3 hours a day. So I get the mobile office.
He saw it before the rest of us. He was the original. And speaking about the phone in the car. So I took, you know, I keep my cars in a garage. I went to pick up one of my favorite cars the other day, and I was showing houses. It's so cool. I should have brought it here today. So I found a 2000 Rolls-Royce Corniche.
Oh, yeah, the white one, right?
With 6,000 original miles on it.
I remember you showed me the photos of it. That car rules.
It's got the phone in the middle.
The car phone. On a wire. Yeah.
Like, that was before the Zach Morris brick.
Right.
The brick phone, you know?
No, the brick. It was about the same time.
Oh, was it?
Brick was the first cell phone. It was overlapping, but go on. Yeah.
And so that's my favorite thing when I'm driving that car is when people jump in, I'm like, yo, check this out. They think I'm going to show them like a brick of gold or a pound of Coke or something. I'm like, yo, check this out. And I lift it up.
And people like, are like,
they're like, oh, that's so cool.
In my red Lamborghini Countach, I keep in the trunk a bag phone. Remember the phone that was that phone with the cord but attached to like a big, it was like a purse?
I feel like that was in the Persian Gulf War or something.
Something like that. Yeah, one of those.
Calling for a heli evac.
You know what sucks though is the technology for those phones to work is like deactivated.
Yeah, it's gone.
I just saw a video. There was a guy who took one apart and put modern cell shit.
The Drive did an article about it. Yeah,
and he made it work.
Can we get that guy on the phone? Let's get that guy.
You have the resources to get that.
Let's get him to Beverly
Hills.
That
guy will build you one.
I got one of my up-and-coming assassins right here.
But you're a Rolls guy.
Yeah, I'm a Rolls guy.
When you rolled up, when we were doing the walkthrough of my Venice house, and he rolls up in the fucking Dawn, I was like, this motherfucker is not fucking around.
Yeah, I go real low profile, rolling into Venice.
With the Dawn.
With the convertible Dawn with the orange interior, right?
Yeah, here's the article off the Drive. The dude got his car phone working again.
Look at that.
Yeah.
In a
Mitsubishi 3000 GT.
That car was bomb.
That was the
back
shit
in
the 90s.
Day.
Yeah.
I remember that at college at Syracuse. I remember that. Somebody rolled up in that, and we were like, oh!
If you had one of those in the 90s, you were the That or a 300ZX, you were the fucking king of the world.
So my daily drive is the Dawn.
Yeah.
That's the best car in the world.
It probably is.
I'm sorry, everybody else, but when you have that car, you will see what I mean. It's so on another level. The luxury, the drive is a mattress. It's like driving a mattress.
It's like yachting. It's much more like sailing than it is like driving a car.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
I road tripped one 1,000 miles once, the Rolls-Royce press car, which was an orange exterior and a white interior, straight creamsicle. It was fire.
Creamsicle.
It was full creamsicle.
You got to be on a next level to have the creamsicle.
Says the guy with the orange interior,
which I love.
I love it. It's aggressive.
That mix is really cool.
Blue exterior, navy over orange.
Cool. It's a good one.
It's aggressive.
Because I go to all the car shows.
Like, it's a little stealth, but then top down, you're like, this shit's orange.
Yeah. Top down, you're like, all right, what are we doing?
You've got the 2000.
But wait, I also hold the record for the most miles on a Rolls Royce.
Do you?
Yeah, because I live in my car. I drive all day showing houses, all night, everything. So I think I put 25,000 miles on my car in 14 months.
No way.
Wow.
That might be a record.
Do you know?
That could be a record.
Do you know how expensive it is when you go over the mile mark? Yeah, I don't own that shit, okay? Yeah, I'm a realtor. I lease my cars because you write them off.
Oh, my God.
Right?
It must be like $1.50 a mile.
It's like $1.50 a mile. I'm here to trade in my Rolls Royce. Sir, you owe us $72,000 in miles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Good news is I sell houses to the Rolls Royce dealer.
What is the advantage to leasing if you know you're going to go over the miles? Is it just a tax deduction thing? I don't want to get too far into
I don't want to get too far in what they teach us. I'm not an accountant. Don't go by what I'm saying. look, when you lease a car, you can write it off, 100%. Right? And I live in that thing for business.
Yeah.
The over the mile thing, totally different story. I'm also, you know, I have some connections, so, you know, sometimes.
Do you need money? We can help.
What? For the mileage.
Altman Brothers loan sharking and leasing.
But then we have other things like the Hummer truck. Right? The Hummer EV that we have, and that's over 6,000 miles. So that is, we own it, and you can write off the entire thing because it's over 6,000 pounds. Mobile office, our...
Is the gross vehicle weight of the Rolls not over 6,000 pounds, too? I think it might be.
That is way over 6,000 pounds.
I think it might be.
Oh, yeah.
No, not the Hummer, of the Rolls. I think the Rolls
is not.
It's not?
Trust me, I checked.
If you got a Phantom, I would have bought it. If you got a Cullinan, it would be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If you got a Cullinan, I know someone who got one, and it's over the 6,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Raptor. We got the Raptor. That thing's a beast.
Yeah.
We take that off-roading.
Do you?
Yeah.
Legitimate off-roading?
Legit off-roading.
Okay, all right. At least
my brother's
you use
this thing's unbreakable. Let's go. And so we went.
That's not true. It's definitely breakable.
And we broke it. And we did not go home in it.
Oh, shit. What'd you do?
Yeah. But the cool thing about breaking a Raptor as opposed to breaking a Rolls is they make a million parts for the Raptor, and they're like, oh, you're screwed. We have to replace this, this, and this. And you're thinking, oh, my God, this is going to cost a lot of money. And it was like... It wasn't a lot of money compared to what.
And they can get the parts quickly.
In 2 seconds. You drop it off, you pick it up. Yeah.
So what were you doing when you broke it, though?
Oh, we were off-roading deep in this area where you can shoot guns and stuff. And
did you jump it over something?
Oh,
it
got caught on a rock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It broke. I forgot the. I'm not. Here's the thing. I want to just put this out here right now. I love cars. I'm a fan of cars.
Yeah.
All types of cars. I don't know much about cars.
That's okay.
Okay. I stay in my lane.
Car enthusiasm has no knowledge point. You don't need to pass a test.
No okay, SAT
fine.
Test.
I broke the thing on the bottom that holds the two things together that turns.
Oh.
So
yeah. That holds the... All right, let me try and work this out.
There you go.
You broke the thing on the bottom that holds two things together.
The thing in the middle.
Uh-huh.
It
like
turns.
A transfer case. Like a four-wheel drive transfer case.
Again.
Does it connect the front to the back or the left to the right?
Yeah, we broke the thing.
Something bad. It couldn't drive anymore after that.
We were able to get down, and it just slowly, like...
Okay, yeah, that sounds broken.
Yeah,
it was broken. I'll take your word for it that it's fucking broken.
You said it was unbreakable.
So what do you like or dislike about... You have two Rolls Royces that are 20 years apart, give or take.
Yeah.
What do you like? What do you see as the similarities and differences between those two cars? This is an interesting comparison.
Yeah, that's
actually
a great question. So I park them next to each other.
Yeah.
And you look at them. And if you ask 100 people which car looks cooler, 50-50.
Yeah.
Including myself. I was like, how is it possible that that car, because we're not talking about like my Dino or something, like a 1974, you know, Ferrari that its beauty is how old it is. And it's 20 years old. Like, it's just a classic. But back then, first of all, back then in the 2000s, this car was $350,000
in
2000.
Yeah.
Right? And when people had Rolls Royces, it's not like now. Like, I feel like, you know, in this town with between the influencers and
well, they
this
make
and
a
that.
Lot more cars now than they didn't have BMW's architecture
rare.
To build off.
You that know, was rare.
Yeah, they were truly hand built in England, their own platforms, their own engines.
Yeah.
You know, all exotic cars are much, much more common.
Right. Like
now.
That car, you would see some super wealthy person driving down Rodeo and shopping on Rodeo back in the day. Right. That's who would drive that. I put them together. I like them both equally. When I feel very distinguished when I'm rocking the Corniche.
Yeah.
And people, I drive it and it turns heads. I drive my Don. They're you know doesn't turn heads. The Corniche, they go. Oh, that's a beauty.
I think the Corniches are about to have a big moment. Like Jay-Z's got one now. Like the people that are like. I think they're just, it's like 20, 25 years. They're about to have a big moment, these Corniches. They're rarer than the new stuff. They're relatively affordable
in terms of like to buy one, you know, versus to buy a Phantom Drophead
or
a Wraith.
Oh, yeah. It's one third, one fourth the price. Yeah.
And I just saw a fucking rap video where whoever it was driving one.
Okay.
And
I like this. I like where this is going.
I think it's about to have the Corniche is really about to have a moment.
So I hope so. because that would be better than my story. So along with my ADD and all these other can't sit still things, right, in life, which is part of my story, of course. I get bored really easily. And so I was taking out this Ferrari Dino that I sold a $25 million house behind the Bel Air Hotel. And it was a teardown. And in the rickety old garage, I lifted up the garage door with my client. You know, no one even lived there. And I go, and I lift up the garage. And in the corner is a 1974 Ferrari Dino.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm dealing with the trust. And I said, look,
trusts don't want to deal with cars.
Yeah. I was like, I'm selling that. I'm dealing with the buyer. And I call the trust up, hey, would you sell the car? They're like, yeah, actually, we're going to sell everything because, we're not car dealers. Mm-hmm. I go, what do you want for the Dino? They say, close the deal first on the house and we'll give you a good deal on the Dino. We got the Dino thrown into the deal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big commission, $25 million house.
Yeah.
So I took that Dino and it was red. And I did this, I looked up the history of the Dino. Like, oh, this is, only two owners. The top was stolen on Sunset Boulevard in 1988 outside of the hottest club in town, whatever it was. Yeah. Like something cool like
that. Some cool Hollywood shit. Yeah, yeah.
And so I took it to a Ferrari guy and I said, what do I do with this thing? I want to be an old Ferrari collector. What do I do? He goes, two choices. Do nothing.
Yeah. Get it to run and look like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't do that because if I'm on the way to a listing appointment for $20 million and that damn Dino dies on the street.
Yeah.
Like I'm leaving it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the amount of money I'm going to make on the commission on the sale, but being late, I'll lose the deal. I can't do that. So that was one option. The other was take it to the Ferrari guys, get it stamped, delivered, all that stuff. The
fully restored and major service.
What's
and all
it
that
called?
Stuff.
Numbers matching.
No.
Classiche?
Classique, yeah, whatever. Classique. I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
Yeah. And that's where you give them 50 grand to get a red book.
Yeah. I think it's less. I think it's like 18 G's. So he's just like, so yeah, if you're going to do it, you got to go 100%.
Right,
and
right.
I did. And every month for the next 24 months, and I want everybody to listen to this who's thinking about restoring an old car, every month for the next 24 months, 30 G's,
yeah.
30 G's, yeah, 30 yeah. G's, 30 G's. And I'm like, God, this sucks. And, one, I'm just too anxious. I was like, I don't understand what's taking so long. I can build a house faster than this. Oh, well, we got to get the right thing.
Try building a house using only parts that were made 40 years ago,
Oh, that's a good way to think about it.
You get, they have new bricks now. But you want to find a fucking windshield for a Dino. It takes a little time.
There's
not
tough.
Making that shit. Yeah. This is what I'm going through with my red car.
I finally finished the Dino. I don't know if you can. It's on there.
Is it on the gram?
Josh Altman's Dino. So I sell it.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I finish it. I'm driving it. I do a couple races just to kind of put it, pedal the metal a little bit, understanding what it felt like in 1974 to cruise around in that thing. One day I'm filming Million Dollar Listing. It's 100 degrees out. I'm pulling into this giant $45 million listing that I had, and it had a steep driveway, and something was going on with the clutch, and I was so hot, and I couldn't get it up, and I got so annoyed, I literally just let it go back. I backed it up, parked it. I said, I'm out of this thing. Call my wife, call my brother. Let's sell this thing.
Okay.
I could not have picked a worse time to sell the Ferrari Dino. It was like the bottom of the Dino market. There it is. The bottom of the Dino market for the first time.
Oh, you painted it yellow?
No.
The blue one.
Yeah, so it was red. As we were
blue.
Restoring it,
yeah.
There was a chip, and the guy calls me up. He's like, dude, your Dino is blue. I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, do you want to go back to the original color? I said, yes, of course. And so we did. So that's the Dino.
Well, that's where 60 of your 150 grand went to that.
God,
change of color.
It was a beauty.
It's a great color, though.
I should have kept it.
It's
and it was like a week later,
yeah.
The Dino market started to go up.
Dinos are very interesting collector cars. I was just having this conversation with an expert of mine. Dinos and Daytonas, the 70s Daytona, the front engine
yes,
V12.
Yes.
They've had four or five major fluctuations that come sort of with just taste and trend and the Dinos go between 200,000 and 600,000
yes.
Wild swings.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with the car itself. It's all just the ebbs and flows of the taste.
Oh, yeah.
And Daytonas go from like 500 to 800. And
so those of you who are listening to this who are thinking of restoring a car, let me give you some real numbers right now. I got that car for trade for, I want to say it was 200 grand.
Okay.
Okay. While it was in the back of that garage with dust on it.
Yeah.
The next day, I was offered $280,000.
For the car as is.
As is.
Yeah.
Take it off my hands. Because I called a bunch of Ferrari guys and said, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
I could have made 80 grand. Instead, I spent the next 24 months spending, I was completely into it for $580,000.
Ooh, that's,
okay?
Yeah.
And I'm told it's one of the top Dinos in the world.
Because it was that kind of money. Yeah.
And I sold it at the wrong time for $420.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Less than 6 months later, it's back up to $580.
Yeah.
It was the wrong time.
Yeah.
But remember, life is a marathon.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how I think of stuff. There's going to be wins and losses. There's got to be. That makes you who you are. Then I go out and I buy, with that money, I go buy a 1978 Pontiac Trans Am. Smokey and the Bandit exact car.
Sure.
Right? And I go buy that thing.
Slowest fast car ever.
Yeah. But mine was resto mod.
Okay. So it had a good motor.
I bought that thing for 100 grand and then drove it, I don't know, rarely at all. I got tired of the stick shift and I sold it for, there it is. Look at how beautiful
that
thing
is. Great looking car. Great looking car. I love how those cars look. And if they're like pro touring, you know, proper motor and powertrain, they're great. But
meanwhile,
stock, they're fucking pigs.
On a resto Pontiac, I made a $40,000 profit
sure.
in a year.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, it, which makes
with
no
the,
sense.
With those vintage Ferraris, you gotta hold them for a while.
Yeah,
then because then at least you get the enjoyment out of it. The sting of the restoration cost wears off.
Yes.
And at least you get, you know, you get that fun. You do a couple events with it. You build some provenance. You enter it in a concourse. Maybe you win a trophy.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and a guy like me, you meet clients, right? All
and
you
over
need to meet
time,
one person.
You can get your money back.
Yeah.
But if you turn around and sell it quickly, if the lesson of that car may have been what I would have done with that car. I think economically smart. You get the car for 200. I would have spent 40 to 50 to get it running perfectly and leave the exterior, wash it, but leave it worn. There's something very cool about these cars that are unrestored and sort of show their wear. And when you drive them, like if you rolled up to like a Cars and Coffee in Malibu in a Dino that looked like it had been used as a car the whole time, it would have been awesome.
Yeah.
And you probably could have turned a nice profit on it without too much investment.
Well, Matt,
that's why you come to me.
We didn't reconnect.
That's why you call
at
me
at that time. Okay.
I sell a house. I call you. You want to sell a car? You got to call me.
Now we're friends.
Yeah. Now you call me.
You know
me
what I mean? You disappear for 15 to 20 years.
What was I doing this whole time?
Well, you were living your life.
I know.
Who knew? Who knew our crazy road maps?
All right. All right. So the Trans Am, the Dino. What else is? What else was in the fun?
So
the
then
fun
I
car
then
category.
I flipped the Trans Am. So. Okay, I got to, you know, obviously I love cars. So I flip the Trans Am. I go buy a 1967 GTO.
Okay.
This thing is so
Zach had one of them.
Mean looking. Zach, you've had one?
I had a 65 replica, basically.
So I think you can pull it up.
My dad had a 72 GTO in period. After he graduated college, he got a 72.
See, that's cool.
The 67, 69 is, I think, a better look.
I think
but
67
had it on your.
No?
Yeah, it was. It is on there if you can find it. But
he'll find it.
So the GTO, you know why I like it? Because I put it in drive.
Automatic.
I put my hand on the seat. I got my wife next to me. I got my 3-year-old and 6-year-old in the back, and we cruise. And that's where I'm at in life right now. So that's what I like.
Yeah.
So it's just different times, different things. That GTO,
I get it.
That thing, it's baby blue with white interior. That thing breaks more necks than anything I've ever had.
Convertible?
Convertible.
So are all your cars 4-seat convertibles
bro,
now?
Bro, I'm on TV. I need the tan. Let's go.
My man's got a whole garage of 4-seat convertibles.
Yeah.
That's fucking
But
G.
like I saw on there something that popped up, the Fisker. Like I was the first guy to have the Fisker because
I thought that was a brand deal. You bought that car?
I'm showing Henrik Fisker houses, right? Nicest guy ever. And he rolls up. He's like, I was like, do you want me to pick you up? And this was years ago before I was really selling like, a billion plus a year. And he's like, oh, I'll meet you there, Josh. And, we had just met. And he rolls up in this car. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is that? And this was early on before anyone knew what a Fisker
was. It was pretty crazy looking when it first came out.
Oh, it was the coolest. And, not to piss off any Tesla owners in this room. Right? Way cooler looking than the Tesla.
They was,
beyond.
Yeah.
And I was, okay, this is.
Oh, there's the GTO?
That's the GTO. Check
lovely.
That out. How cool is that thing?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Mean looking. But.
Oh, I know where that is too.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Scott is my homie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we have a mutual respect for each other.
He's a good dude. He's
business.
Been in the game for 40 years.
Yeah, and he appreciates what I'm doing. I appreciate
That's cool.
what he's doing.
That's like my competition. We all I sit once a month with all the top realtors that I go to battle with every month against each other, and we sit and we have a big dinner. We drink lots of wine and lots of alcohol, and we laugh, and we just have the best night ever, and then the next morning we're enemies again. It's a very cool way to do it.
Yeah.
So, but the Fisker, I was like, Henrik, did I tell you I have a TV show? And he's like, no. I was like, it's called Million Dollar Listing. I need one of those. Yeah. I need to roll up to these listings in that. Anyways, whatever deal we did, we did. There it is. Whatever deal we did, we did. That was not the original one, though. And it was the greatest
car. Did you
like it? I had the best time in it, and I ended up selling it because at the time, I think they were talking about, I don't know what it was, but I ended up selling it.
Usually when I meet real estate people, they like a four-door car because they're driving clients around, but do they just climb in the back of the fucking, when it's a Rolls, does it not matter that it's two doors, or do you take them in the van office?
I actually ask them now because I've been in situations where a husband and wife want to kill me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're like, why would you make us climb in the back of this freaking thing?
Yeah.
It's like, these are pretty successful people. They're dropping 10, 20, 30 million. And I was like, I'm sorry. So now I say, listen.
You want to drive yourself?
How many people are coming? Do you want to drive yourself? I got a few cars I can take. Which would you rather roll around and see houses in? My job is to make people feel like multiple millions while I'm showing them multiple million houses. Whatever I got to do to make them feel great that day is my job. I got nice cold waters in the back. Would you like an iPhone charger? I'm a freaking Uber driver like you've never seen, right? And so that's what I do now.
Do you think that like... if someone's like a lower level real estate agent, they're not selling $50 million houses. They're selling regular houses.
Yeah.
Is it important to fucking get a real nice car to drive people around in?
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. I just had this conversation. Listen, I don't care if you sell $200,000 houses or $100 million houses. You are a walking billboard for your business. Right? The second you pull up to a listing appointment, the sellers judge you. Right? This is their biggest investment in their life. They want someone who's confident, who looks the part, looks like they can afford the house themselves. It's all part of the brand. The first thing I would tell you to buy yourself as a gift or lease or whatever is take half of that commission, go get a suit, go get a good-looking watch, doesn't have to be expensive, and go get a good-looking car. And when you go pick people up, you get that car washed, you put cold water bottles in the back seat, and you look like a pro. the most important thing. I don't care if it's a Tesla. I don't care if it's a Toyota that's old. But don't roll up in something that doesn't look sharp. And it doesn't mean you need a new car. Just get it washed. Take pride in who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
With
in our business, at least.
The craziest thing I've seen, I mean, you know, the pandemic and people's movement over the last three years, you know, out of the cities and then back into them in some cases has been pretty crazy to watch. But the craziest thing I've seen in LA is the proliferation of houses that are over $50 million.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's like just, you know, when I if I walk by a real estate office, you know, and they got the listings on the windows or whatever, the fucking pictures and, you know, especially Malibu or wherever.
Yeah.
$150 million, oh, yeah, $200 million. Like, where the fuck is this coming from? And who's spending $100 million on a house?
Yeah. I mean, look, you learn a couple things when you sell houses like that. Number one, you don't have money, okay? You don't have money. I don't care how successful you think you are. You don't have money until you see these people, right? That's
like
number
one.
Like,
they're just not on earth anymore,
no,
right?
No. Number two, it ain't normal, all right? So don't think like, oh, you know. Also, I see these houses every day. I go home at the end of the day to my normal house with my normal family, and like I need to
with only two Rolls Royces in the garage.
No. I'm just saying, like,
I know
that's not normal.
No, yeah,
like that's not normal. So you have to actually leave that at the door when you go through the rest of your life, because otherwise you're like you can't function as a normal person
yeah.
because you want this, you want that. This is so crazy. That's not
is it. When you see all that, is it even enviable to you? Like, you don't, like, cause I went to that Machowski house in Bel Air where they had the fucking Airwolf helicopter on the roof.
That, by the way, that was just a piece of art because you couldn't fly that.
Yeah.
And you can't land there.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But I went, I go, who wants to actually live in something like this? It didn't seem like a place you could live in.
Are folks like that just trying to, not, you know, they're buying like a private hotel for themselves? Cause some of these houses and the property is so big. You know, you're not going to like see it all, but I guess if you have 40 friends over and use it as your private hotel escape, like, is that their move, or is it just they have the money and
so here's what I'll say. Some people invest in the stock market. Mm. Some people invest in cryptocurrency. Some people invest in real estate, and some people invest in other things. A lot of times, that's when you have that type of money. It's chess. You're taking money from here. You're putting it here. You're taking it from that country because maybe you feel more comfortable with $100 million sitting in the U.S. You are, for tax reasons, doing this or that. You are, very rarely is it, oh, this is our home. Kids run around. Like, it's another level of wealth. I won't even want to live in those houses that I sell. They're so big. They're so ridiculous. I'd be divorced in 3 seconds in those houses. Like, what? You know, there's a level of then it's not normal and it screws up your life.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I just saw the funniest, like, Instagram clip of Shaq, who built a 75,000 square foot house in Miami. And they're like, it was Ellen or somebody who was like, how many of those rooms do you use? And he's like, two.
Two.
Yeah. The kitchen, because I like to eat.
Yeah.
And the bedroom, because I like to sleep.
Okay, Shaq has an excuse. He's 8 feet tall, right? Yeah. He needs that space.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's what it is. You see these houses, and you're like, what do I need this for? I mean, the house in Bel Air, that was 100,000 feet. Like, I showed that to a bunch of billionaires. It took us an hour to walk through the house. Wow. It's like going to a mall.
It's a Segway tour.
It's a Segway tour. Like, you're like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, yeah. Cost you $10 million to decorate it. At least.
Oh yeah, and then like I'm selling a house right now for $60 million, and every someone rolled in and was like, "Yeah, this is cool. I'd like to update it." So that's going to cost me $10 million. Like these numbers are totally skewed and crazy.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it's a wacky world we live in. The wacky world that we actually deal in every day. But you know, we also sell $1 million houses, which are normal 3-bedroom 2,500 square foot homes here.
You sold my house, which is a normal house.
So, you know, that's cool and all for, like, the TV stuff, and every once in a while you pop one of those off. But, like, that's, the, you know, our bread and butter is, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8 million houses all day long. And that's, you know, that's the
that's
stuff.
It's high-end in L.A., but it's not
completely. Yeah, but
completely...
by the way, yeah, no, those houses are $800,000 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, that's just what they are. So it's like, that's normal here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Do we have a bunch on Patreon for Josh? Let's take a look, because we let our fans ask questions
of
our experts.
All right, cool.
But is it, before we get to that, is it a good time to buy? Is it a good time to be a buyer? Is it a good time to be a seller? Is it a good time to, you know, should people get mortgages? Like, what's the fucking move right now?
Sit on cash.
Yeah. What's the move? So what I would suggest is this over the next 24 months, if you can. Be as cash heavy as possible. Okay. I think we're going to see a lot of things happen in this country over the next 24 months. And I personally would like to be in a position of being able to, a position of power. Okay. Cash is king. I don't look much further than 24 months out, because that's a whole different world in my life, right? In my business. So I would say be as cash heavy as possible. I think it's a great time to be a buyer. I think you have a lot of leverage. And I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities presenting themselves over the next 24 months. That's what I could tell you. The people who, you know, locked in a 2.5% interest rate a year ago, sit tight. You're not doing anything. What are you going to go sell your house for a little money more than what you paid for it and then go borrow at 6 or 7%? Forget it. You're not. Yeah. If anything, you're what we call an accidental landlord. Right? So go buy something else, but rent that house out, because you got a rate that's basically free.
Yeah.
So rent it out.
I bought the house I live in now in October of 2020. Yeah. So, you know, the things that didn't go so well in Venice did go pretty well at my
now
at my
you're
other.
Chilling.
I got a good rate over
that's
there.
That's it.
It's
that's
nice.
That's it. So that's my advice.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Always meet with three realtors. Right. Always get multiple opinions. Don't be cheap.
I should have fucking done that. What I called you, I didn't call anybody else.
Yeah, you should have, bro.
Should have called your casting agent.
Yeah. You know, everybody on our show likes to call all three of us on our show because they think it's funny. Yeah. Oh, let me call all three of them and see them fight. Oh, you know, and you're like, oh, funny. Man. Yeah.
Is that, I mean, are in Million Dollar Listing, is that a fully... real deals, real homes?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Because you got to realize, you want to sell your house, like, we're pretty well known at this point. We've been on TV for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they like to call us because they're fans of the show. And so we all go up against each other. Naturally, we fight all the time because there are different deals that happen all the times that we're either co-listed, went up against the listing, represented the buyer or seller. It's so easy. Mm. We're like, oh, how many episodes do you need this season? 12? I'll tell you 12 right now that we're battling against. And so it's so easy.
Yeah. That's
like,
good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. It's nice that it's easy. Lucas, we kind of got to that. It's not really applicable, but thank you. Chris says, what property have you bought or sold with the coolest garage space?
So
car man caves?
This was cool. I sold the most expensive garage ever sold in Malibu. And
oh, I know. Is it TB?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah,
I know both the guy before and the current guy, and it is fucking awesome.
Greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
Mentor of mine.
Yeah.
It was on Million Dollar Listing.
Oh, was it? Can
it
you
was,
say this?
No, but it's fine. But. I don't just want to. But I will tell you this. At the time, it was like $8.5 million for
a
one-bedroom house with a 50-car garage. Yeah. That was the great. Now looking back, people are like, that was way too much. Let me tell you something.
No,
that was the greatest
steal
ever. Yeah. Stole it.
Yeah, Yeah, the backstory in that is that the guy originally who built that wanted to build a big garage addition on his house.
Yes.
His HOA said no, so he built this other property up the road that looks like a regular house from the outside, but in the inside it's a one-bedroom condo with a gigantic fucking garage behind it.
Wait, it looks like a regular house with a driveway around the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So 18-wheelers can drive around your house.
Yeah.
Drop your car off and keep driving.
It's incredibly sick.
I got a house in the market right now, like for $58 million. We're still deciding what to price it at. And it's got a we took the tennis court and we turned it into a 20-car garage. I got to have you come see the house.
I'll check
it's
that out.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one of those houses that has like a secret elevator to underground shit?
All of it. Yeah. All of it.
That's cool. The 50 car garage one, I've been to multiple times, and it is amazing.
It's amazing.
It's the fucking coolest place in the world. I think we kind of just covered May's questions. As Josh, if I have a 2.5% mortgage, am I ever going to be able to sell my house? Are mortgages ever going back there? I feel like my mortgage is almost worth more than my house. Yeah, hold. Yeah,
hold.
Hold. Let's see.
Do I know Jeff Lewis? Do you know travel? That's funny. Yeah,
Tom Rosenbaum says, do you know Jeff Lewis?
Sold. I don't even know. I've sold Jeff Lewis at least 4 houses. He's great. When's MDLA coming back? This year, I got to start filming soon.
What is the craziest car a client has let you drive?
Oh, the Bugattis always.
They're lovely, aren't they? They're nice cars.
I will never buy one of those. They're so expensive.
Oh, to maintain? Yeah, they're crazy.
I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Like these cars I buy, I like American Muscle, most of them, except for the Rolls.
Didn't you have like a Kirkham Cobra or something too for a while? Or a Superformance something?
I think it was Backdraft something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so 427 Shelby Cobra replica.
Yeah.
But like I like those cars, the muscle cars, $100,000. Cool as shit. You're not spending millions of dollars on a car. Like, that goes into real estate.
Yeah, yeah. Bugattis are kind of... I get it. I mean, I appreciate them, and they're definitely experienced, but it's not what
I'm also married with kids.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe you get it for a different reason.
Richard Duck says, I have a real estate and car parking storage question. The fiancé doesn't drive and needs to be close to public transportation. Doesn't want to venture too far out of San Francisco or Oakland, and I want multiple cars. Does it make sense to invest in a house further out of the zone just to rent out to others to get in the game, or take some of that money and buy a commercial property to store or park cars in and rent? Oh, so you're talking about, Jesus, this is a detail thing.
This is detail. Here's what I would say. Always buy better real estate. Right, you start buying houses outside of areas, guess what gets hit first? Houses outside of areas go down first.
Yeah.
Right? Trophies are trophies. Can I just say something? Because I knew you when you were a little shit.
Anything.
Okay. What you've done here is insane. Super impressive.
Thank
Seriously.
You.
I love the idea because this is not a commercial act. In fact, he hasn't paid me shit for this, and I usually get paid a good amount of money for an hour. I use like auto garages to store my cars.
Yeah.
What you've done here is the coolest, most impressive thing I've seen in that business so far.
Thank you very
Kudos
much.
Kudos to
I
you.
I appreciate that.
And it's fun seeing you come up in the game.
I love this business. I think this business is great.
It's the coolest thing ever.
The things that other people are really impressed by within this business, to me, seem like common sense.
Yeah.
Like what you're talking about with how to represent yourself as being a real estate agent.
Yeah.
For other people, that's above and beyond. But for you, it's like, no, this is just the way.
Yeah.
And so I see it as being the same way, the thoroughness and all that. Where do you see our next one?
I can't wait. Oh, where is it?
2 months in Gardena.
Awesome.
We're targeting South Bay. Manhattan Beach.
It's a no-brainer.
Manhattan Beach needs us, bro.
Yeah, well,
they need
especially
us
Manhattan
so
Beach.
Bad.
Have you ever shown a house in Manhattan Beach?
Good luck.
Good luck finding parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you buy a house in Manhattan Beach, the fucking driveway angles, you can't get a Ferrari
All
into
my
a garage
use
in Manhattan
that stuff.
Beach.
All my clients use
Send
that
them
storage.
To me. Last question. Murray says, does adding a level 2 charger significantly add to the market value of a house for sale? I think it's probably a nice to have, but it doesn't cost that. You're talking about $1,500 to put in a level two charger at a house.
Yeah, that so. will not get that money back.
But it adds, if you've got an electric car, trust me, you want one.
Well, yeah, you have to do that. But yeah. if you're just putting it in for resale value, yeah. you get someone who doesn't drive a Tesla or something like me,
yeah.
you don't care.
Yeah.
And
if you're building a house and it only costs incrementally more yes. to put that 220 yeah. outlet in the garage because yeah, the wall's open,
true.
Yeah, fucking do it.
True, but I would also say that you can wire for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
all you need is that 220 outlet in the yes, garage. You don't need yes. the charger box itself.
Yes. Josh, yes. are you guys installing them? You know, if you have a house that's worth $4 million or up or something,
yeah.
are you just going, let's put one in all of those houses?
No, no.
They'll do that if they want.
No, but I will tell you the crazy houses that we're building, that my clients are building, garage space is so important. And that's where some of these big developments fail. Like, oh, welcome to my $20 million house with my 2 or 3 car garage.
Mm.
Listen, if you think the buyer of this house is not going to have 8 cars, like they just are.
Well, that's why I put this where I put this,
yeah.
because the beach cities over here, you know, the demand is so yeah. hot. It so outstrips the
like,
available.
Instead of 7 bedrooms,
yeah, yeah.
build a 5 car garage.
Yeah.
That will be the difference of someone buying it or not.
Yeah.
What do you think influenced, I mean, you've been here a long time. So many of the new houses, new builds in LA take the entire lot
yeah.
and they turn it into a shoebox of a yeah. house with a tiny yard.
Yeah.
What brought that about?
The mini mansions?
Yeah.
To maximize square footage, so your price per square foot, you get a higher price, right? And then, you know, the whole neighborhood's like, oh, these mansions, there's too many mansions. And the person who's been there forever and the little craftsman is surrounded by these, like, big white boxes, right?
Yeah.
Like in West Hollywood or something, for instance. And, yeah, so they've changed those now where you can't do it. And before you could build like 5,000 square feet, for instance, on that lot, you can only build 3,800 now. Or you could only build 15,000 square foot mansion instead of, you know, 25, whatever it is. They've scaled it back big time. What do I think about them? They were hot. And now, because you can't build any more of them, there's still value there. But you know, I like to see a bunch of different houses. I don't like looking down a block and seeing 7 of the same modern mansion.
I like to see some breathing room around the house
yeah.
on the property.
Mm-hmm. I'm a yard
too.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
you know, East Coast guy. You grew
yeah.
up with a backyard.
I need a little bit
yeah.
of breathing room there.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
trying to live in an edge-to-edge box.
Yeah.
It's not my vibe.
So I need to get the hell out of here
okay.
and go show some
Thank
houses.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's
I
been
understand.
Real good. I could talk with you guys forever.
Time is money. We'll
Time
do it again
money.
When we open the new facility in Gardena.
Yeah,
Thanks.
Let's do it.
The Josh Altman on Instagram, $1 million listing on Bravo, Altman Brothers Real Estate. He'll sell your shit. He sold my shit, thealtmanbrothers.com. Thanks, buddy. Good
Love
to see
it.
You.
Good to see
Appreciate
you, Maddie.
It. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
All right. Thanks.